I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and I gotta tell you, I'm excited about this morning. And those of you that come to church here on a regular basis, you know that I get excited most of the time, right? And this morning, I was even talking to one of the worship team leaders, and I said, man, I'm excited to be at church. And they were like normal excited or like another level excited? And I wasn't sure at that point, but Paul, I'm at another level excited this morning, because what we're doing today is, you can see these tables that we've got lined up over here. Today, we're going to have our sign-up Sunday for our next session of community groups. And so after the service, and don't worry, I'm going to cut it short. I'm not going to talk for a long time.
You're not going to do it, aren't you?
I might try to. I don't know. We'll see. But man, we got some sign-up tables that we're going to have right over there. And so what we're going to ask you to do is right after the service, that we're not going to leave here. We're just going to go right over to those tables, and we're going to see about signing up for a community group that you might want to be part of. And the reason why I'm really excited about these groups is that we're very strategic in the groups that we have right now. Yeah. And that we have really said, hey, we believe that God has put our church here for a reason, to be able to see this community get changed. And not only just Eastmark, but also the southeast region of the East Valley. And so we have a community group that's going to be meeting in Queen Creek. Really excited about that. Tim and Kathy Bob, can you raise your hands a little bit? Man, they're incredible. Man, if you know the Bobs, you know how great they are. If you don't know the Bobs, you need to get to know them. They're just the most loving, wonderful people that there is, as all of you are, right? You know? But man, they're incredible. And so they're going to be leading a group in Queen Creek. We actually have another one that's going to be meeting in South Gilbert, and that one's going to be led by Pastor Jonathan. He's wearing the wrong shirt today, but that's okay. That we're excited. There's some of you Seattle fans here too that, you know, we'll change, make believers out of you one day. We'll see about that. Just keep having the Cardinals win, and then you're going to be like, okay, I'll jump on that bandwagon. Yeah, one day, we'll see how it goes. But man, he's going to be leading a group in South Gilbert, and so I want you to, if you live in that area, that you can go and be part of that group. And then we've actually got another group meeting right here in Eastmark, yeah, that myself and my wife are leading, and that the McCoys, why don't you go ahead and Shannon, raise your hand. Seamus is out there still working with the pumpkin team. That was a weak clap from Shannon. Come on, church. You can do that. But man, we're going to be leading a group right here in Eastmark, and we're really excited about that. That's going to be great. But then if you live outside of that region, which I know many of you do, and then you drive in, this is something that I'm really stoked about, is that we have a group that's actually going to be meeting right here at the church on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And so if you live outside of those areas and you can't travel in on a weekday or a midweek time, that you can come on Sunday morning, just an hour before service starts, and you're going to be meeting right here, and that's going to be great. And that's the Shoebrings. I don't see where you're at, Paul. Where are you at? There they are, right over there. There's Paul Shoebrings. He's going to be hosting that class, teaching that class. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. But not only that, this is one that I'm really stoked about too, is that with our Motion Student Ministry, Raphael, which is he's got a group that all teenagers go to on Thursday nights. The entire Motion Ministry, but then also we have a really strong core group of junior hires here, and middle school students, which I'm not sure which one goes junior high or middle school around this area. I don't know. You guys know the age group. 6th through 8th grade is what it is. 6th through 8th grade, that every single Sunday, starting next week, yeah, every Sunday at 10:30, they're going to be meeting as a group. So if you're a junior high or middle school, you're going to be part of worship right here. Or you can be part of serving the Move Kids area right back there in their worship time. And then at 10:30, you're going to be excused right after worship and go and hear a relevant teaching that really has to do with middle school kids. You're going to be able to hang around people a lot cooler than me. That's Raphael, man, he's the cool guy over there. And so something that's a totally different for just specifically junior hires, which I know that is such a tough age. That's a rough, it was rough for me, man. It was awkward, you know, you grow really fast. You don't even fit in your own body, all that kind of stuff. It's great. It's going to be awesome. We're stoked about junior high happening just starting next week. It's going to be fantastic. So I am stoked about this happening today, signing up for that. And some of you might be in here thinking, hey, man, we got football starting to get you, right? Like, how? We're going to get out of here quick, all right? And I want to give you some incentive for sticking around and signing up. So we want to give you some incentive. So if you go through and you sign up on one of those sheets, each time you sign up on a sheet, You're not signing your life away. You're not committing to, you know, every single thing that's ever going to happen in the church. You're just saying, I'm going to sign up and get some information from the leader. That you'll be contacted by the leader, invited by the leader to join the group. But you're just signing up for that. And if you sign up for that, they're going to give you a ticket. And we've got today, we've got over $100 worth of prizes that we're going to be giving away. It's going to be awesome. Just a little bit of an incentive to get you to get over there and put your name down on a piece of paper. Can you do that?
Yeah,
you can do that, right? Let me tell you. Talk about football for a second, right? You know, I mean, it's the first week. I'm excited about football. I love it just as much as anybody. But I can tell you this, that the first quarter of the game, of the first game, you're not going to remember. Next year, you're not going to remember it at all. Do you remember the first quarter of the last game last year?
Yeah.
You don't remember the first quarter. Oh, man, you don't remember that thing. I know from a Giants fan over there, you don't remember. But here's what I know. That first quarter is not going to change your life, but going over there and signing your name on a piece of paper and joining a group, it could possibly change your life. Because I know what it's like to be in a group of people who want to support me and build me up and want to help me along my Christian walk. I know what that's like, and it's changed my life radically. Because I wouldn't be standing where I am today if it wasn't for the friends that have come around me and have encouraged me and have discipled me and mentored me to be where I am today. And so I know that that game's not going to change your life, but going over there and signing your name on a line, it just might do it. And so I just want to encourage you. I kind of feel guilty now. Don't I didn't mean to feel guilty about it. I just want to encourage you. That's how important it is. It's a big, big deal. And so I just want to encourage you to be part of that. I'm excited about our community groups. They're going to be launching next week. So just be able to go over there. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. But this morning we're continuing and we're in our second series of a series called Without a Doubt. Because I know this. I know that each and every single one of us, we have some doubts in our life. There are things that go through, and some of them are really funny, and some of them are pretty serious. But there are these doubts that we have, and that we all come through. And so today, what we want to do is we want to be able to point out some of those things and acknowledge some of those doubts that we have within ourselves. And we want to be able to say, you know what? I want you to leave here. Here's my goal. My goal is for you to be able to leave here and understand that doubt is not the thing that is going to be the most center of my life. Instead, I want you to be able to be filled with hope. The exact opposite of doubt. I want you to be filled with hope and understand that Jesus is the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27 says this, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. And when we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to have Christ living inside of ourselves, that is the hope of glory. My hope today and my goal for you is for you to be able to walk out of here and know without a shadow of a doubt that God is for you and not against you. We all have doubts. Some of them are serious and some of them are pretty funny. Yeah. This past week, man, I was sitting there going through this message and I was sitting there watching my, you guys that come to the church, you know, they have two rowdy boys, man. They're awesome and amazing, but they're boys, man. And the one, my littlest one, Case, he's sitting on the ottoman. Right, we got this ottoman in the middle of the living room, and we're sitting at this ottoman, and all of a sudden, man, just out of nowhere, this kid does like a half gainer off of the ottoman, boom, lands his head right on the concrete or the tile floor, and I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and he's crying and everything, and then a little while later, we're getting ready for bed. And he's, you know, he's changing his clothes and getting into his PJs, and he's got his pants around his ankles. And then he starts, like, pogo sticking around in the bathroom. And then sure enough, man, he trips and hits his head on the toilet. And I got to tell you, that day, I doubted if he was going to make it to 4 years old. I'm like, just calm down a little bit, you know? And we all have these doubts that we play around with. And some of them are funny, and some of them are pretty serious. And the one that we really want to talk about today is actually kind of serious. Because what we begin to do is we begin to doubt if Jesus really cares, not only about ourselves, but does Jesus really care about the people that I care about? Does Jesus really care about the friends and family members that I have been praying for years? Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it's one of those things that really hit home to me, because recently we've just started to say, hey, look, we love this community. We feel like God has put us in Eastmark for a reason. And so you know that we've begun to pray each week for different streets in this neighborhood. The first week we prayed for Kinetic, and a lot of you guys live on Kinetic that live in Eastmark, and then we prayed for Hawk Road, and you guys remember because Pastor Jonathan was up here last week going, Hawk! You know, it's really crazy and weird, and Amanda made you remember it, didn't it? And so we're praying for that, and then this week we're going to be praying for Sable. And as I was sitting there earlier in the week, and I began to think, you know, on Monday, I'm sitting there, it's Labor Day, and, you know, a lot of us had the day off, and I got to be able to spend the day with my family, and my parents just moved down to Arizona, and it was great to be able to spend our first holiday together that we've done in a long time, and I began to think, man, I'm so blessed. Like, for me, it's not hard to trust God and to just give my life to God, because it's just something that I've seen Him come through so often that I'm living a blessed life. And I can say, man, God, You're amazing. But then the next morning, I'm sitting there and I'm praying for a hawk, you know, and I'm praying for that. And I begin to think this. Is God really going to see every single person on that street get saved? Does God really care about every single home sitting on that street? And every single family sitting in those homes? And every single person laying down in the bed, or every single one of the people sitting on Hawk Street, as I'm praying for them, are they going to come to know You, Jesus? And I got to tell you something. I doubted it was going to happen. I doubted that God cared enough to be able to see every single one of those people and saved. Because that seems like a big task, right? That we pray for a street and that we would actually have the faith to believe that every single home sitting on that street would come to know Jesus. It filled me with doubt. I doubted that Jesus can actually save it. And some of you are sitting in this place right now, and you have close friends and family members. You've got children. You've got parents that you've been praying for years. And you begin to think, God, do You really care? Because it seems like I care a whole lot more than what You do. I'm on my knees and I'm praying for You to be able to see this happen, and I don't see it happen. If we're honest with ourselves, the doubt sinks in. Mm-hmm. And we begin to think to ourselves, man, you know what? That person just might be too far gone. As if somebody could be too far gone from the saving grace of Jesus. But the reality is that we begin to doubt. If we're honest with ourselves, that is the truth. Each of us have been there before, or you might be there right at this moment. We're going to go through a story in Mark chapter 9. And we're going to see a man who begins to struggle with that doubt. We're going to see a man who is going to be in that place of frustration, who's going to wonder, does God really care? Jesus, can You actually save my son? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 9. Or if you have your mobile device, you can go ahead and go to YouVersion app and go to the live events and follow along with the notes right there in that app. It's amazing. I would suggest for you to download that sometime. And not only just for today, on Sundays, to follow along the notes, but there's so many great reading plans for you to do during the week. Just get yourself into the Bible. This is another one of those crazy stories that you read and you're just like, wow, man, the Bible is awesome. I want to tell you, read your Bible. It's amazing. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 18. This is where we pick up. When they came to the other disciples, and when it says when they came to the other disciples, right at the beginning of Mark chapter 9, there was Jesus and three of His disciples, and they went to this place called the Mountain of Transfiguration. And they saw Jesus in all of His glory. And now, it would take me a long time for us to be able to talk about what that looked like, but if you're interested, man, come talk to me afterwards. It's really cool. So it says, they came together with the rest of the disciples. They saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. Which is a shocker, right? Religious people arguing with each other. Yeah, that's some of you in this room too. All right. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet Him. Now, isn't it interesting that we can be overwhelmed and underwhelmed, but we're never just whelmed, are we? How come we're never just whelmed? Anyway, that's just beside the point. Here's what they say. That's my own dumb brain speaking out. What are you arguing about with them? Or what are you arguing with them about? He asked. As a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son." Now that's interesting right there. "Teacher, I brought you my son." And if we were going to be in this place, that we have these loved ones that we know, these children that we have, parents, friends of ours, that are going through whatever situation that it is. And if I was to tell you last week, "Hey, I guarantee that Jesus is going to be here today," you would have done everything in your power. You would have taped them up. You would have drug them up. You would have kidnapped them, done whatever you could to bring them here this morning, because you would have said, "I brought you my son." They wanted to bring his son to Jesus, who was possessed by a spirit that had robbed him of his speech. We would have brought our people that we care about. We would have done whatever we could to get them to a place to meet Jesus. Because we know that Jesus, even though there's some doubt that we bring in, we know that there's something special about Jesus. Because we can see that people were overwhelmed with wonder. They had awe, and even ourselves, we walk through and we know Jesus is this name that brings power. We know that Jesus is this name that brings authority. There's something special about the name Jesus. And so if we knew Jesus was going to be someplace, we would do everything in our power to say, "You've got to meet this man." Because we know, even in our own lives, what Jesus has done for us. We're going to touch on that in a little bit. This is what he says at 18. "Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashing his teeth and becoming rigid." And this is where frustration sets in. "I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." And we walk around with that same frustration. We begin to have the blame game, right? You know what? I've tried to bring this person to church before. I've tried to bring them before Jesus or to somebody else. I've tried to get a pastor to talk to this person. I've tried to have other mentors, other friends of mine. I've done whatever I can, and they couldn't do it either. It seems like all is lost. This is a man that is at the end of his rope, right? This is a man who is sitting there saying, "Something happened because I don't see it. I don't see how this son of mine is going to change." He's at the end of his rope. Mm-hmm. The reality is that we know people exactly like that, that have brought us to the end of our rope. And that we just think, "Jesus, just do something. I've been praying, I've been begging for something to happen." And we've been in the point of frustration. Maybe we're at the point of frustration right now. We feel like pulling our hair out. "God, just save this person. Change them. Do something in their life." I love the way that Jesus responds. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to verse 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" He calms down a little bit and says, "From childhood," he answered. "It is often thrown him into a fire or water to kill him." And this is the thing right here. "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." But if you can, this is a man who had the gall to say to Jesus, if you can, you know, like I said, we got football season started, right? You know, I'm excited about football, especially college football. My Iowa Hawkeyes won yesterday. Yeah, you don't care. I care deeply. You know, I mean, it's a great day. But man, I was just thinking Thursday, right? Thursday was the first game of the NFL season. And it was against, it was the Patriots versus the Steelers. And some of you guys are football fans know it. Some of you who are not football fans, I'm giving you a lesson right now so you can talk to other people about football. And so here's the thing. This is a really cool deal that happened on Thursday night. It's against the Patriots. They have a quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is probably one of the best quarterbacks, arguably one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played. He's just done a really good job. Well, he had a little bit of a scandal going on this offseason. Some of you guys are aware of it, right? And he was going to have Deflategate, right? You're like, "I'm sick of hearing Deflategate." That's what was going on. And we thought that he might miss some games. And it goes to court, right? It goes to court. And finally, the judge says, "Hey, he gets to play in the first game of the season." Well, this is a guy who he didn't have a lot of time in the preseason to prepare. And so we weren't sure what was going to happen with Tom Brady. And so some of us and some of the national media, they were saying, well, we wonder if he can play. And so some of you watched the game on Thursday night, and it was like Tom Brady saying, if I can, are you kidding me? I'm one of the best players that's ever played, if I can. And so at one point, he threw 18 straight completions, which is a big deal. He ends up throwing 4 touchdowns in the game, and they beat the Steelers. This is a guy who's got it going on, and he's like, if I can, please. This is a dude that just walked up to Jesus, and he says, if you can, look how Jesus responded. If you can? Yes. Do you know who you're talking to right now? If you can. Everything is possible for one who believes. Now this is where I call timeout. Hold up. Everything is possible for one who believes. It's almost like he's throwing it back on the man, right? He's saying, you know what? You could have seen your son healed if you would have just believed. Wait a second, Jesus. You're throwing this back on me? I've done everything that I could. I have prayed. I've been on my knees. I want to see my child get saved. I want to see my child get healed. Some of you have been in that place where you've got calluses on your knees because you've been praying for so long to God to heal your parent, to save your parent, to do whatever it is, and God's putting it back on you. What is going on at this moment? Now, Jesus asked this question not because he's trying to put it on the other person, but to give us a lesson. And so that we could see this and we could understand how we should respond. Because the reality is that even though we might be on our knees and even though we might be pleading, there's still doubt that we have. And this is the response that the man has. He says, immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, and I love that, exclaimed. This is a man that's passionate. This is a man who desperately wants to see something happen. And he exclaims, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, Jesus. I believe that you can save. I know it in my heart, but I've got doubt. I've got doubt because I've seen the track record, and I've seen what's gone on. I've seen the Spirit throw my child into the fire, and it's just bad. We've been in that place where we say, you know what, God, I know you can save. I've seen you do it in other people, but for some reason, my child keeps going back to all of these negative behaviors. Jesus, can you just please do something? And this is the response that we should have. I do believe. Would Jesus please help me in my unbelief? This morning, I want to help you figure out what that looks like. These are 3 things that I just want to be able to throw out really quickly to help us in our unbelief. These are attributes that we can have that can help us be in that place that we respond to God. I do believe, but help me in my unbelief. And the very first one that we need to have is hope. We need to have hope. I got to tell you something, I believe that Christians should be the most hope-filled people on the entire planet. That, man, we should be filled with hope, that we're walking around with hope, that we should feel like, man, today is going to be awesome. We wake up and we just think, today is going to be the day. We should have hope. I have hope for myself that I'm going to become a better man tomorrow. I have hope that my boys, that I'm going to be able to raise them up and they're going to be 10 times the man that I've ever dreamed of being. I have hope that my marriage is going to be the thing that dreams are made of.
My marriage is going to be the thing that dreams are made of. That you should walk around and be filled with hope. Hope. Hope, hope. Man, I love this verse. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith, or belief, help me in my unbelief, help me in my faith. Now faith is this. It's the confidence in what we hope for. And what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I have hope that it's going to be amazing. I have hope that Jesus is going to save. I have hope that he's going to be able to be everything that I ever dreamed of. We should be filled with hope. Filled with hope. And to have somebody say, man, the next time somebody says, don't get your hopes up, say, I don't think so. I serve a God filled with hope. I'm going to get my hopes up about this. I have my hopes up that the Iowa Hawkeyes are going to go undefeated this season. All right. Maybe I don't have that much hope. That's a lot of hope right there. Oh, my goodness. But we need to be filled with hope. As people who follow Christ, hope should be one of our main attributes. And we don't look at this world and say, oh, man, what a shame. We get to see this world and see, what if? Man, what if Jesus was able to do this? Because we know that one day he will. We should be filled with hope. Everybody say hope. Come on, that's what we need to be able to walk through life with, is hope. The second thing that we really need is this. To have our faith is to see love. And I'm not talking about just saying that we're full of love. And then it's just something that we get to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, man, of course, but man, I'm full of love. I'm saying that having our actions back up our words. How much do you really love the person next to you? How much do you really love your neighbor? How much do you love the person that you work with? How much do you love the world? We've got to be filled with love. And I got to tell you something. I look at the way that the church is today, and it makes me sad. Because I know that the world, as sinful and as corrupt as the world is, exemplifies more love than the church does. Because it's so easy for individuals to go find some love someplace else. They can find a group that's going to open their arms and bring them in. And the church has done such a horrible job of being able to push people away. You know what? You don't act the way that we do. We don't want anything to do with you. We teach our kids, you need to be able to shun them away because that's what good Christian kids do. Now forgive me, but I think that Jesus went and hung out with sinners, didn't he? He didn't push them away. He went and hung out with them as if to change them because he was more concerned about their heart than he was about their behavior. And if we become more concerned about transforming somebody's heart than about transforming their behavior, then we can see love. Man, look at what Paul says right here. Romans chapter 9, he says this, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. So I think that what we can say is that Paul is being honest when he says this. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. This is a man who's heartbroken. What is he heartbroken about? For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people. This is a man who loved his group so much, the Jewish people he was born into. He loved them so much and wanted to see them come to know Jesus so much that he said, you know what? I would give up my own salvation. I would give up everything that I know in Christ. Cut myself off. Curse me, just me, myself, just so that my people can know me. That's some love right there. How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to love somebody enough that they don't change their behavior, but you just point them to the person who can? How much are you willing to love somebody? Are you willing to love somebody enough to have an awkward conversation with them and actually invite somebody to church? Do you love somebody enough that you're willing to get outside of your comfort zone to be able to show them Jesus? If I was going to tell you that Jesus was here today, you would have drugged somebody along with you. You've got to see this. Well, let me tell you something. Where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of him. Jesus is right here with us. And he is able to save. He is able to come through. How far are we willing to go to be able to bring somebody here to be able to hear and feel and experience Jesus? We've got to start loving people. You want to have more belief? You want to have more faith in your life? We've got to be able to continue to love. Now, it'd be foolish of me to just put it all on us. It'd be foolish of me to be able to say, you know what? If you would just believe more, if you would just hope more, if you would just love more, then your son, then your daughter, then your parent, then your friend would get saved. Because the reality is that Jesus is the only one that saves. It's not us. We have a responsibility to make his name known, but it's not all on us. We want to see our faith get stronger. We want to see our belief become stronger. The last thing that we need to do We've got to keep praying. We have to be people of prayer, that we don't stop praying for those people around us, that we continue to be on our knees, as callous as they are, that we still get down on our knees and we give everything to God. Look at how this story wraps up in Mark chapter 9. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." Here's the reality. Some of you are sitting in a situation where the crowd is looking around and saying, "He's dead." People are looking at your marriage and it's on the rocks and they think it's at the last point and they're saying, "He's dead." They're seeing your son and your daughter and they're saying, "You know what, man, they've experienced so much, they are too far gone," and they're saying, "He's dead." And you might be one of those individuals that believes it's too far, but not Jesus. Jesus answers this way, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. I'm going to tell you something. You might be at the end of your rope with your marriage, but Jesus can come. You might be in a place where you don't believe that your son or your daughter can come to know Jesus, but Jesus is going to be able to come through for you. You think that your parent is too far gone, that they've lived some way for so long that there's no way, but Jesus can come through. But Jesus is the answer for us. But Jesus brings us hope. But Jesus gives us the love to continue to pray. And his disciples said this. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, "This kind can only come up by prayer." We have got to be people of prayer. We have got to be people who say, "You know what? Beyond everything, I'm going to pray to a God who loves. I'm going to pray to a God who provides. I'm going to pray to a God whose promises are true and always, who was and is to come." We have got to be people of prayer. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to ask you to pull out your envelopes and your talk notes that you got when you were walking in. And you had this little blank card right there. And there's a little blank card. And if you don't have a blank card, can I get those blank cards maybe passed out? Do we have more of those? Do you know where they're at? We have any more of them? If you don't have a blank card, I want you to just be able to raise your hand up so that everybody's got one. There's a couple of extra ones right there too. You want to get some over here? Man, as they're working to get those things out to everybody, I want you to be able to think about somebody in your mind, the person that maybe you've been praying about for years, somebody that's on your heart that says, there they are right there. If you need a card, just go ahead and slip your hand up right now. Ushers are going to get you. Somebody that you've been praying about for years, somebody that you love deeply, somebody who's close to you. And you've begun to doubt if Jesus can actually save them or not. Today, I want us to be filled with hope that Jesus can save. Today, I want us to be filled with love to understand that, man, I need to love them better and I need to do something about it. And I want to commit their name to prayer. And so as you're sitting there writing that name down, I want to tell you a quick story. I'm so thankful to my parents, my mom and dad, for raising me in church. And being somebody who believes that God can come through in a crazy way. And believes that prayer works. And man, it didn't matter rain, snow, sleet, hail. It didn't matter if we were on vacation, man. We were going to church. Because my dad always said this. He said, "You never know when God is going to speak to you." And so we were just at church all the time. And this was back in the day when we had Sunday night church and we had Wednesday night church. And man, it seemed like we had church all the time. Yeah, you know, and that's just how it was. I grew up in church. But I loved it because there was a point when I was about 6 or 7 years old. The church we were going to, and I remember seeing this little boy about my same age. He was walking in. And I'd never seen this boy before. And I can still see his face today. And he stuck out to me because he looked a little different. His face was deformed. He was born without an upper palate. And he just looked really weird to a 6 or 7 year old boy. I can't remember exactly how old I was. I was just thinking, wow, that guy's weird. And we had a prayer time in that church, just like what we do for here and on Sunday mornings. And my dad and another one of his friends went and prayed for that little boy, because that little boy wanted prayer. My dad, not thinking anything about it, went and sat through the service. And this is a family who was driving through, didn't normally attend our church, didn't live in the city. They were just driving through on their way back from vacation, and they went to church. And the thing that I remember about this little boy is the reason why it sticks out to me is that we went back to church that night. Remember, we had Sunday night church, and so we go back to church that night, and we see this family again. But there was something different. Because, see, after church, the parents got in the car, and they began to go on their way, and they were driving, and all of a sudden, they heard in the back seat, they heard the little boy begin to whimper a little bit. And the mom turns around, and with a gasp, begins to see the boy's face grow. And right before their eyes, they see his face come to fullness. And this little boy that night came back, and he looked like every little boy that I would have ever seen. Nothing special about him. Because God answers prayer. And we don't know when or where it's going to happen. But I do know that the last time, and I believe that every prayer is going to be the last time to see a miracle come through. Prayer works. And we want to be people of prayer. And I believe that as you're writing those names of that person and that life down on that card, and you're going to pray for them and you're going to commit to praying for them. And I'm going to tell you this, that as leadership, we're going to commit to praying for those individuals as well. And as you're writing that name down on there, I believe that the last time that you pray is going to see the miracle come through. And I have the hope that one of those times is going to be right. Because I believe that God is a God that saves. I believe that he's going to come through in the life of your friend, in the life of your family member, your son, your daughter, your mom or your dad. Our God is a God who can save. I want you to be able to hold that card in your hand. I want you to be able to lift it up right now. Nobody's going to look at the name. Just lifting up, and we're giving this name to Jesus today. Church, could you pray with me? God, we come before you with all of these hands lifted, with all of these cards lifted up. These cards are lives. And Jesus, I pray right now that we will see salvation in these lives. I pray right now, Lord God, for these names that have been prayed for years and years. I pray that salvation will come. I pray that a miracle will come through, Lord Jesus. I pray for reconciliation with family members. I pray for reconciliation with children, Lord God. I pray that there will be a miracle that will happen in these lives, Lord Jesus. We commit our lives to giving you everything. We commit our lives to seeing hope happen in these names, in these individuals. We commit to loving these individuals, Lord God. And we commit to never stop praying for them. We know that you are a good and loving Father. And we know, Jesus, that you can save. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 You have that card in your hand. And I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to put it someplace where you're going to see it on a consistent basis. That there's a recommitment level for each of us to say, man, I want to see this person come to know Jesus. And there's a recommitment level for us that we see that, and every day we're praying for it. And like I said, God knows the names that are on those lists. I don't need to see that list. I don't need to know the name exactly. But as leadership, we're going to commit to praying with you for every single name that you've written down on there. And we're going to believe that Jesus is going to radically save these lives. Can I get an amen on that? That's what I'm talking about right there. Lord, help us in our unbelief. That's a challenging message. Isn't God good today? Isn't he good?